Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome back to SpondyCast. Today, our guests are Pamela and Brad Thompson. They are co-owners of Wellness Within. They are both former educators who now specialize in mind-body energy, coaching, and mentoring people who struggle with stress, overwhelm, emotional turmoil, and chronic physical issues to restore a sense of calm, ease, and joy, thus improving their overall life. Their philosophy is that health and well-being come from the inside out and depend on the harmony, balance, and alignment of the body's energy systems. They are certified practitioners of the Emotion Code and Emotional Freedom Techniques, also known as EFT or tapping, and trained in Psych K1 and 2, as well as Matrix re-imprinting. In addition to providing one-on-one via in-person or Zoom, they conduct workshops and speaking engagements, conveying the latest science of how the mind impacts the body and sharing powerful mind-body techniques to reduce symptoms of stress. They are also co-authors of the soon-to-be-launched book, Stress Less, Thrive More, Discovering the Secrets to Physical, Emotional, and Mental Wellness. They have been married for 54 amazing years and reside in East Killingly, Connecticut, in the home they designed and built. Their shared hobby is gardening, and they spend much of their free time in their beautiful flower gardens. They also enjoy nature walks, hiking, and traveling, and three children with two grandsons and three cats. Pamela and Brad, welcome to SpondyCast. How are you today?
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
And we're doing well.
Excellent. Okay, so I'm going to ask the one question. And by the way, congratulations on 54 years. That's crazy impressive. I don't know what the odds of that are, but I'm sure they're low these days. So I'm dying to know a little bit about you guys and why you got into EFT and mind-body healing.
Okay.
Pamela, why don't you start?
Okay, I will, because I've been seeking for a long time for emotional and mental and physical health and happiness. And so I did a lot of studying and finding out energy work, doing Reiki. I did healing touch, something called Arcturian studies, all kinds of stuff. And little by little, learned more and more about the mind-body connection. And I had a business actually before Brad and I were in business together, and using the healing touch with people and finding out how powerful our minds and body, our mind and body are, minds and bodies are, and the healing potential that we have. And now you take it over, because
yeah, so
this is the next step.
When I retired from education after about 40 years, I started getting interested in the mind-body connection as well. And this caused a lot of the books that Pamela had gotten and read and so forth were hanging around the house. And somehow something crossed my email. It was an ad for a workshop outside of Boston given by two doctors called the Mind-Body Connection. So I said, wow, I'd love to go see that and participate. So it was a weekend workshop, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Pamela was busy, so I called one of our daughters who lived outside of Boston and asked if she'd like to join me at this workshop. And it was given by two doctors who were trained in Western medicine. However, they were studying the mind-body connection and were more and more shifting away from Western medicine, more toward mind-body medicine. So my daughter and I went and we spent the weekend, and it was during that workshop that one of the doctors demonstrated, didn't teach it, but demonstrated EFT or tapping. And our youngest daughter that was with me raised her hand when the doctor asked for volunteers to come up on a small stage. She raised her hand. She went up on stage, and she was at the time dealing with some trauma herself. She was going through a very difficult divorce. And I watched as this doctor did some EFT for maybe 3 minutes with our daughter, and I saw her affect completely shift. And on the way to the hotel, in the car, I said, my daughter's name is Aubrey. I said, Aubrey, what happened to you? What was going on inside? Because I saw a change in your affect. She said, Dad, I felt like the world was just released from my shoulders in those 3 minutes. So I came home from the workshop so excited, said to Pamela, we need to learn this thing called EFT. I forgot the name of it even at that point. We found someone in Vermont who taught emotional freedom techniques, EFT tapping. And our two daughters and ourselves went and were trained level one, level two. And then Pamela and I were trained to level three and then certified as international practitioners. So, and that was, 2014, I think, 13 or 14.
Yeah. It's since then. Yeah. And since then, we've had the mind body connection is so fascinating that we just continue to get involved in trainings and certifications of different modalities.
Yeah. So, I'm fascinated by it as well. I know my yoga teacher is always like, take your mind out of there. Take it out of your body. So I've been fascinated for years. And I think for a lot of listeners, there's a lot of integrating some of these techniques into the Western medicine as well. So I know a lot of people may not be familiar. Do you want to tell us a little bit about EFT and how it works?
Sure. So EFT is just simply, in a simple definition, it is, I've lost the word.
Well, it's a
simple.
It's a scientifically proven technique that it's been proven to release the cortisol level in the bloodstream. It also addresses the amygdala, which is the stress center of the brain. It's actually the little organ that sends out the red alarms to the body that you're not safe, and sends that cortisol through your body and the adrenaline through your body. And it's been scientifically proven that when you tap on this energy system, that it sends a message to the amygdala that everything is okay. Mm-hmm. And it lowers the cortisol level, the adrenaline level, calms the body, and actually connects through a doorway to the subconscious mind.
It uses the points, the meridian system, which is what acupressure and acupuncture utilizes. It only uses a few of those points, there's like over 400 of them, but it uses maybe 10 of them that we utilize, and just tapping in different places on the face.
And the amygdala is where? Is it front or is it in the back?
It's in the back.
Yeah. I remember seeing like a video, watching a video about it.
Yeah, that's near the stem of the brain.
Okay, that's right. Mm-hmm. And so that's where cortisol gets? That's the cortisol?
Well, the amygdala sends information to the other organs in the body, the thyroid, the hippocampus, the adrenaline, the adrenal glands, and then they produce the different chemicals in the body.
Interesting. I don't think about it.
The brain is what sends messages to the body as to what chemistry.
Right. It sends the neurotransmitters.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So EFT is also known as tapping, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So how is it different from like mindfulness or different healing practices that you've experienced?
The advantage of EFT and other techniques that we offer as well, is that, number one, it uses the body's energy system. Pamela just mentioned the meridian system, like acupuncture or acupressure uses the meridian points. Well, we're tapping on those meridian points, and that tapping sends an electric signal to the amygdala and throughout the body, because the energy systems, similar to arteries and veins, are all connected. I can't see them, but we have a system in our body that the energy flows through. We're able to access that by these meridian points, and it also connects to this little organ called the amygdala, which is the doorway to the subconscious. So the advantage, several advantages, but one is that we can actually access the subconscious programming in the brain. And when we talk about subconscious programming, we're talking about the fact that our memories, our beliefs are all stored in the subconscious mind. And what's interesting about that is that 95% of our thoughts, beliefs, memories are stored in the subconscious. We're not aware of them.
So yeah, and then we create, like, our experiences create the way we respond, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And yeah. We respond to our experiences, and we respond to our belief system.
I think one other piece that makes it different from other types of work, like that you had mentioned, is that we get down to the root cause of what is going on that is creating the emotional imbalance in the body. And then we can, with the tapping or with some of the other mind-body tools, we can actually just very gently release that, allow it to come up and just be released. And that's the beauty, being able to connect into the subconscious. The subconscious will only bring forward something that it is ready to let go of. And according to Gary Craig, who's the founder of EFT, as adults, we have hundreds, maybe thousands of emotions that are trapped or that need releasing or that could be released, that are contributing to things like us feeling not worthy or less than, or, you know,
not important.
All not good those enough. Kinds, yeah, those kinds of limiting beliefs that we hold, not capable.
There's a lot of them for a lot of us.
Yeah.
And everyone has what's called a negative core belief. And that
every
is
every person. Yeah.
A negative core belief is a belief that they probably created or learned between the ages of 0 and 7, when they're kind of just in download brainwaves. Most of it's unintentional, but it's, and Pamela mentioned some of them, there are some derivative of I'm not good enough, I'm not important, I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy.
Yeah, and beyond that, like, for, I've experienced, not through EFT, but through some other methods, the release of spots that have been painful for a very long time.
Absolutely.
When releasing whatever it was that I was holding myself, right? Like, being able to twist my body into something that it had never done in 20 years and just letting it go and falling into that, like falling into a deeper pose or movement. And is that kind of the same, where you get the release and is it gone forever once you get rid of it?
Yes.
Gone.
Go ahead.
Yeah. One of the things about the core beliefs that I don't want to forget this piece or leave it out is that once we have a core belief, and we all have them, that core belief determines, it dictates what happens in our life from then on. And it is at a subconscious level. If someone in, I don't know, grade school had to speak in front of a class and the class laughed, they might develop a belief system that, oh my God, it's not safe to speak in front of people. And so they wouldn't, as they go through life, they're not going to take the chance of getting up in front of class again. They're not going to go out for theater. They may not even apply for that job that they really want. Mm-hmm. Or will they approach someone that they think they'd really like to go on a date with? They're not going to put themselves out there because that core belief, it isn't safe mm-hmm. for me to be there. So that will determine which path we go down as we move forward in our lives.
And I know we're a little in the weeds. I love the weeds, by the way, on questions. Once you release a negative core belief, mm-hmm. and this is my own, I don't know anybody else's, but I think it may fly is if you release one and then you grow, do you start to push your limits and find the next one and the next one?
Well, some people believe that we have at least one negative core belief. So if you think of a tabletop, the tabletop represents the core belief. Let's say I'm not good enough. So once we establish we have a core belief, or once we've created that belief, it becomes programmed in the subconscious. Now, when we talk about a program, we're talking about something that can be turned on and turned off. It's not like it's fluid. It's a program. It's like turning your TV on or your computer on and off. So when that gets triggered, I'm not good enough, that belief gets turned on, and it's subconscious. So you don't know that, but it's actually influencing your behavior, your actions, your beliefs, everything. So once that's established, that program, the subconscious looks for evidence that that program is true and disregards evidence on the contrary. So you could have all kinds of experiences where you demonstrate that you're good enough, and have one or two here and there where you don't feel good enough. That's the one, those are the ones the subconscious now contributes to the program. So the program gets stronger. So think of the legs of the tabletop as being all these events throughout your life where you reinforce that belief that you're not good enough, and it becomes part of the program. So as we grow older, the negative core belief actually gets stronger. It doesn't get weaker. Now, your question, Jill, earlier was, once we shift it, is it gone for good? And the answer is, if we shift it and we get all of it, if you will, if we collapse the table. Because remember, if it's a program and we reprogram, now what gets triggered is the new program, which is I am good enough.
Right.
So once we've changed the program, mm-hmm. then that's for life. And now the subconscious looks for evidence that you are good enough. That's some of the work that we do, is we discover with the help of our clients what the belief system is and help them shift that program.
How many sessions does that take?
That varies. That is a good question, because that truly varies, because people are not cookies.
I know. None of us are. We're like snowflakes. We're all different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But we don't melt.
And so it is so different. It is so, so unique. And, you know, we've had clients that we've worked with, well, maybe 5 sessions, 10 sessions, maybe 20 sessions. And then they've come back to us a couple of years later. You know what? I've got to tweak something. And something has come up and something else has been triggered. So, you know, it's that, or maybe we never see them again.
And everyone's life experiences are unique to them. So it really depends on what their history is like. Mm-hmm. What beliefs have they created? What traumatic experiences or even troublesome experiences that are cataloged in their subconscious that's being triggered in their life. So yeah, it really does depend on the individual.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is it have you read the book Four Agreements?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
I'd read it book, times.
I read it about once a year. But that is very similar to what you're talking about, is like this deprogramming of the virus that gets in, like a computer virus, in the judgment of yourself. Yeah, I love that book. That book is life-changing. So, and I expect the same from your upcoming book. Okay, so let's can you describe, now that we're talking about sessions, can you describe for us like what a session would be like? And I want to get a little bit into the autoimmune side of the world too, and how people respond. But can we talk a little bit about what it's like?
Sure. So what Pamela and I do with clients is each session, we develop a goal for that session. Now, we don't know what that goal is coming in, and the client doesn't often know. Because of so much is subconscious, they rarely come to a session and say, okay, this is what I want to do today. But we always ask, because they own the content. We own the process. We use our intuition, and we've got a lot of different techniques beyond EFT. And there's many derivatives of EFT that we can use for different situations. So the client will come to a session. First question I always ask, and probably Pamela too, is there something you want to address today? Yes. Because we know that where we ended last week is going to be different a week later, because the body is pretty much 100% energy. When we work with a client for 90 minutes, we've moved a lot of energy. And during that next week, that energy is still moving and they're releasing all kinds of things. So to think that they're going to be in the same place a week later or 2 weeks or whatever time frame it is. So we always ask, you know, is there something you want to work on today that's come up that we'll address? Because we can only heal in the now. What's going on for you right now? Is it a memory that's come up in an emotion? Okay, we can address that now. Is there a belief that you're not good enough, you're not important? We can address that now. So during the initial conversations, we create the goal for that session, and it kind of comes up organically.
And before we even get into sessions, or probably the very first session, is we do a discovery of what is going on for you. What is it that brought you to us? You know, what's going on in your life? And we listen for keywords that, and the language is very important. We listen for how people say things, because it gives us clues as to what a limiting belief may be that they're holding. You know, what's the self-talk that goes on, which is so important. Right. And so we pull a lot of stuff out of them and then go from there with the sessions too. Okay, well, you know, when you first came here, this is what you came for. And as we go down the road, you say, how is that going now? What is going on with that now? And what of that do you want to address now?
So, for example, someone might say, yeah, I've had this knee pain for 10 years and I know it'll never go away. Well, that's a red flag for us, because that's a limiting belief. And that gets in the way of that pain moving, because the body listens to the mind. So if the mind is saying, believing, I'll never get rid of it, they'll never get rid of it. So yeah. We work on the belief first to shift the belief, so the person says, well, maybe it is possible I can get rid of it. Once that shift is made, we can now use some techniques to start to move that energy and start to shift that energy. Mm-hmm. We've had remarkable stories about physical things that have shifted, that people came in thinking there's no cure for this, they've been told.
Or they've come in for some emotional things and they never mentioned the physical, and the physical has shifted as the emotional pieces shift. So, I mean, I can give you an example of a woman that came in because she'd gone to therapy for years for a sexual trauma in her teenage years. And we worked for quite a few sessions, six sessions or so. And she goes, okay, we never addressed the sexual trauma until that session. She goes, I'm ready to go there. And so we did. And she came back the next time. She said, I can't believe this, but my sciatica and my pain in my lower back are gone. She said, I could not sit for any length of time without excruciating pain. But once she dealt with, she came to peace with the issue, her trauma, the pain disappeared.
That's amazing. And there's a lot of energy in those like lower chakras, right? There's a lot of blocked energy, I think, down there for a lot of people. My grandmother used to say, you carry other people's problems in your shoulders and you carry your own problems in your hips.
I haven't heard that before.
It might have been, I can't remember if it was, but it plays out as my life goes on. So have you worked with autoimmune or any spondylitis patients that you know of?
Well, to be honest with you, we don't often pay too much attention to what the diagnosis is because we deal with the underlying root cause of any ailment. It's all the same. It's trapped emotions, limiting beliefs, traumatic memories. When we talk about stress, people throw the word stress out like it's candy at Halloween. But what is stress? Well, our definition of stress is it's negative thoughts, negative beliefs, and traumatic memories or troublesome memories. Though that's what stress is. So you and I could have the exact same experience. And because of my history, my beliefs, my thoughts, that could be a traumatic experience for me. Whereas for you, your history, you don't have the memories, you don't have the trauma, you don't have the thought patterns, you don't have the beliefs. You just walk away from it and it's like, eh, it's like a gnat on my on my shoulder. I mean, it's
right.
We know from working for 15 years with people with all kinds of disease, conditions, emotions, beliefs, it boils down to the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. And I think a really good example is someone that Brad worked with who had trigeminal neuralgia. I don't know if you know what that is. Why don't you share that story? Because that's a really powerful one.
She came to a workshop that we gave on pain and EFT. And she came up after the workshop. Well, actually, she volunteered during the workshop. And then after the workshop, she came up and she said, well, I have trigeminal neuralgia, and I've had it for 5 years. And she said, I can't even talk for any length of time without triggering this sharp pain in my face. And she couldn't eat any crunchy foods. She hadn't for 5 years. Doctors told her, and she believed it, that there was no cure. And she was on three pain meds plus aspirin or Tylenol, and it wasn't touching the pain. She asked if we could help her. And what we said to her was, we cannot guarantee anything. What we know is we can help release emotions that are likely going to help the pain. So she decided to, I mean, she was desperate. So she signed up for 10 sessions. And on the fifth session, she came back. I was working with her. She came back and she was local, or fairly local. So she came to our house. She said, I have good news. She said, I'm off all my meds and I have no pain. And I said, I can't tell you to go off your meds. And she goes, oh no, the doctor said, go off your meds. And so it was four sessions of working on her anger about her mother that went way, way back and still was there. We worked on her belief system that trigeminal neuralgia was not curable, to the point where she said, well, maybe it is. Maybe for me, it is. And that's kind of the route we go. And as we resolve the beliefs and the memories and the actual events that caused the anger, it released all that energy that was being stored in her system. And this was maybe 5 years ago.
Maybe.
And we stay in touch with her. She's never had a problem with it. We've had two people with that
trigeminal neuralgia,
that disease, that non-curable disease.
Yeah. Do you want to describe what it is? I have a little bit of understanding, but maybe for the listeners, because it's a really painful.
It is a very, very painful condition. It's in the jaw and down the neck, and it's a pinching of the nerve or whatever in that area. And you don't know when the pain is going to occur. You can just be sitting and not moving at all, and you'll get this excruciating pain. It's like an electrical shock up into your face and down your neck. And it's also called the suicide disease because it's so painful and so shocking. And people, like Brad had mentioned, this person couldn't eat, you know, anything that had a lot of had crunch to it. Even talking, sleeping is an issue.
Yeah, it's
a very painful thing.
So going back to your question.
Oh yeah.
So we don't lose track of that, is because we know that pretty much all symptoms, physical symptoms, I can't say all, but most, are caused by the mind. And again, we talk about the mind, we're talking about thought patterns, belief systems, and memories. Mm-hmm. And when we dive deep into the history and call up the trapped emotions, the limiting beliefs, and release them, that's when the body takes over and heals. I mean, EFT doesn't heal anybody. We don't heal anybody.
And the body is an incredible, incredible creation. And it's, its natural state is to be healthy. Mm. And I mean, if you just stop and think of all the things that this body does on a daily basis, you cut yourself, it heals. Okay. All the functions that your body does, it's incredible. Mm. It knows how to heal. If we can get this other stuff out of the way that is blocking it, blocking the flow of the energy.
And when does if you're in a session, we're talking, so there's a lot of discussion back and forth, I think, when does the tapping come in?
There's most of the time in a session, there's more tapping or there's more using other tools and techniques than there is discussion. There is some discussion. We don't have to know anything that occurred for people. I had one woman who came to me with, she was scared to death because she had COPD and she thought she was going to die. And her pulmonologist said that you really are going to if you don't do this and this and this. And she just, in the session, we did some tapping on that belief. We did some reframing of it. And all of a sudden, she just blurted out as something that occurred to her when she was a teenager. And she said, oh, my God, I have never told anyone this. Not my husband, not my mother, not my husband, no one. And it was something, it was a trauma, a sexual trauma. And she said, and he lives next door to me. All my life, he was just. And she said, so every single day for all my life, when I come home and I see him, this has been a reminder. And she said, hey, I don't even know that that was there.
Hmm. But see, the key there is that when we're tapping,
right,
or we're doing psyche or other techniques, because we're going into the subconscious, oftentimes during a session, the subconscious is going to feed information to the conscious.
Right.
And we'll, after we tap a round or two, we'll ask, did anything come up for you? And they'll think a minute and say, well, this may not be important, but I think of my uncle, so-and-so. And then all of a sudden, this memory comes back. So again, we just follow the lead of the client, mm-hmm. in terms of what goes on in the session. And I just had a client this past week, and she has aches all over her body, and she's had it for months. Well, if you've got aches for a month, it's chronic. And when it's chronic, it's a key that there's something behind it. She couldn't move her arm like higher than this, you know, like 45 degrees, yeah. And it was frozen. A lot of pain. And so I asked her if she can remember an event early in her life that when she thinks about it is troublesome. And she said, yeah, right away. She came up. I said, well, I don't want you to go thinking about it deeply, but if you gave that event a title, what would the title be? And she gave it a simple title, and we just tapped on the title. And I asked her, what, on a scale of 0 to 10, how intense is the, it was resentment and fear that came up, and it was an 8 on a scale of 0 to 10. So just tapping on the title of that event that she gave brought that intensity down to a 3. And then we went into a different technique called matrix reimprinting, and we got that to a 0. And now she could think of the event, and there's no emotional attachment. And the interesting thing is her arm released, and she could move it all the way around. And
before she left.
Yeah. And I want to go back to that woman who came to me with the COPD. She doesn't have COPD. She's breathing fine. She does not need to have the CPAP or anything. Once she released that emotion that was stuck in her body for all these years. She's retired. She was a retired school teacher. So all these years she'd been living with this, and released it. Her body was able to do what it's meant to do, and that's to be healthy.
Wow. These are amazing. And I'm a firm believer in a lot of alternative medicine or alternative treatments. What does the research say, and in terms of effectiveness?
Well, there's a lot of research out there now that people like Dawson Church, he's a big pioneer in the researching of EFT, did a lot of studies with PTSD and proved the efficacy of EFT on helping to resolve those issues, turn those emotions,
the triggers off,
yes, and replace them with some empowering beliefs. And so there's quite a bit of research now, the scientific research on it.
Yeah, there's over 100 international studies that prove
David
the
Feinstein
efficacy
was another one.
of tapping for certain things, and anxiety, pain, PTSD. And what we've been taught from the people that have been doing EFT a lot longer than we have is that try it on everything, because you don't know if it's going to work or not. And what we have found is that more than not, it works on pretty much everything. I mean, it we don't cure anyone, but their body is what
cures,
and everybody's different. But it's rare that a client will end a program with us without receiving relief. Now, it may not be 100%, but it's rare. I don't even know if it's ever happened.
They haven't gotten anything. No, they've gotten.
Because, you know, we're dealing with what's underneath.
Oh, amazing. Okay, before we run out of time, I know we've got a few more minutes here. Is there any reason you wouldn't do EFT?
No. not a reason not to do it.
There's a reason why we would not ask someone else to do EFT. And that is that if they're a newbie, mm-hmm. just learning EFT, we would suggest that they not try to resolve a trauma.
A major trauma, if yes. Got,
I should see that.
Anything that has a high emotion to it.
It's possible they could have an abreaction, which means that the emotion will be so much that they can't control it. And
so we would say find an EFT practitioner.
Yeah.
If you've got something that is really deep seated or something that is, you know, a high level of emotional intensity, negative emotional intensity. And if you're going to do the EFT for yourself, get some training on it first too, mm-hmm. so that you know, you learn how to, what the points are, and you kind of get a good idea on, there are certain phrases. I mean, you want to keep your mind focused on the topic and just the things to say and how to proceed.
And I'm imagining, like, in that case, like when you're talking about the negative, like PTSD is probably one of them. It's very severe and difficult to overcome. I would imagine there are some emotions there that are pretty intense. Okay. So if somebody's like, I don't know if I should try EFT, is there a, okay. I do know you have a quiz on your website.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
But I filled out and then I forgot to check my email. So I need to go get the results.
But do that. Yeah. Try it. I would say try it. And, you know, and see how you feel. Many people, even in one session, they say, oh my gosh, I feel better. I feel calmer. I feel relief.
Yeah. I'm a believer from the day my doctor walked in the room and she said, listen, we're going to try something woo-woo. But it's not going to hurt you. So let's try it. And if it doesn't work, you don't ever have to go back. So since then, maybe it resolved my limiting belief on like alternative therapies. Okay, so give it a try. And then do you think there are still misconceptions about some of the emotional healing techniques out there in the general population?
For sure.
Oh, yeah. I think, too, that there are, because it's not mainstream. It's not taught. We've been conditioned to look outside of ourselves, that is our way to take care of ourselves, is to, you know, pop a pill, get an operation, you know, something like that. And there's so much more power within us that we can tap into, no pun intended, but, we can connect into that innate, healing ability and that knowledge. And once we learn the power of the mind and the body connection,
yeah,
that should be taught in all schools. At least that's our opinion.
Right?
So that people know what's going on when they have this negative self-talk. What are they doing to their internal environment? How is that impacting their health and well-being? Because it definitely does. It's a whole different chemical soup inside your body than when you are in a place of joy and happiness and gratitude and self-love. And so that's what we help people to get to too, is that point of paying attention to how they feel inside and what their emotions are, because it's key. That's key to knowing if you're if the chemistry in your body is supportive. Or are you in the fight or flight or stress response constantly? And if you are, those chemicals are detrimental. They're only there to get you out of danger. They're not there
to build up. They just.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So give us a quick moment about your book.
Well, our book is about what we've learned in terms of the science of the mind-body connection, so mind-body medicine, and techniques that we've learned, including EFT, through that time, so that the reader has in one place,
right,
information. And we've just touched on it today, on what the power of the mind-body connection. So we have 8 chapters of what's going on in the mind and the body. And one of the things that makes us a little bit different than other tappers, if you will, is that we teach the mind-body connection. We teach about how the body is responding to the mind. Just a quickie in terms of the book is that we talk a lot about the fact that the body is all energy. Energy has a vibrational frequency, and the body thrives in an environment of high frequency. Well, guess what? Our thoughts have a frequency. Our beliefs have a frequency.
Yeah, love is 800 hertz.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And our memories, all that has a vibrational frequency. So if someone's in fight or flight, if they're worried, if they're anxious, if they're angry, whatever those negative emotions, they have a vibrational frequency that the body is responding to, not only chemically, but vibrationally. So if people are going around and they're complaining and they're pointing the finger and they're blaming, they're judging, they're whatever.
Yeah.
Those thoughts have low vibrational frequency and their body is responding to that. So
right.
we teach people about what are you thinking during the course of a day? Where are your thoughts? If they're not about good things and positive things and reinforcing things, and what we teach them to do is give them techniques on how to shift that or pivot that to positive mm-hmm. thoughts, because we know and we want them to know it has a detrimental effect on their mm-hmm. body.
And it's not a Pollyanna thing. It's an authentic piece that where we can get to the point where we actually feel it's not just saying, oh yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah.
It is you're feeling it.
Yeah.
And that's the key piece is, you know, learning to feel and use your emotions as a guide.
Yeah. And I always wonder, it goes back to my question earlier of like the growth piece, right? And I always think of it as like anything that's closed can't grow. And once it's open, it can grow.
Yes.
And
very good
energy or whatever it is, you can start to grow. And I often think, like to your point, like the Pollyanna-ish comment that there are a lot of things we all have to overcome, whether we have a condition, right. not a condition, we're considered healthy, you know, whatever we see on Instagram that we believe about other people or don't believe, but we don't know what's going on beyond the Instagram post.
Right.
It's all these things. And it's sort of the human condition, right? Of like,
yes,
moving toward making, giving yourself the most love that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And this is to your point of like, we've been taught to look externally, but like loving yourself is the one thing you wouldn't, some of those thoughts we all have, we would not treat anyone in our lives like that.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
You're right on.
So it's, right on. I'm on a journey. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But this is fascinating. Okay. So let's wrap up. I have 2 final questions. So wellnesswithinct.com, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So wellnesswithinct, like Connecticut.com, yes. is your website. I guess that wasn't a question. And then what is like one piece of hope you want to share?
Wow.
One piece of hope. You know what? Where you are is where you are, and it's not static. It can move. And
like
yes, absolutely. Mm. You can move. It can move. There's, I think that's one thing.
Yeah, and so I guess that my last thought, it was something you just said, Jill, about kind of loving yourself. And to me and to us, that means loving all parts of yourself. not just the good parts, not just the fun Absolutely. Things, but loving the disease. I'm talking about loving the disease, because think about it. A disease is something that the body is struggling with, or a part of the body is struggling with. If we want to get rid of it, we're pushing against it.
It's resistance.
And what we resist persists. So that disease is going to stay in place. But if we are gentle, we soften our body, we breathe into it, we send it love, that it's energy. Everything's energy. Now that energy is receiving love, it's receiving a high vibrational frequency, it can start to release. So, you know, in terms of hope, I guess what I'm thinking is I'm looking forward to a shift in consciousness around what our medical system's going to look like down the road.
Yeah. Can we talk about that 100 years out?
Yeah. Right.
Well, I think personalized medicine is where it's going, right? This is something that we've talked about on this podcast before, is that there is so much, as we learn more and more about the body and the mind,
Absolutely.
That we're finding personalized medicine is a very critical piece to healing or growing. And we could go, that's a whole nother episode. But this has been amazing. So I hope that people can take a look at what the work you're doing. And you do Zoom and
oh yes.
Yeah.
So okay. Awesome. All right. So yeah, I could talk for another hour, but I'm gonna let you get back to your day.
could we share our contact information?
Yeah, 100%.
So it would be Pamela at wellnesswithinct.com or Brad at wellnesswithinct.com.
That's our email. That would be the easiest way to get in touch with us.
Awesome.
If people were interested to learn a little bit more.
Well, I might be emailing you later.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's been wonderful. SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie. Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.